Bayside Podcast, my name's Simon, first time caller. Just ringing to offer my personal highlights of a barnstorming 2010. A season full of pretty great racing, despite the drivers having to cope with the Tilke tranquilizers. The battles going on all the way down the track. Cowboy Ashley proving that subtlety is not always the answer. Jensen giving Lewis a run for his money, and the two of them seemingly getting on very well off the track. Mark and Sebastian going at it hammer and tongs, which has kept the heart pounding all year, although I would have liked to have seen our new champion overtaking his way to victory at least once. The new team's getting all the way to the end of the season, despite Bernie's prediction. And last but not least, being introduced to your show by my father, and then subsequently turned on to Grand Prix Plus, so thanks, Dad.
As a podcast, it's Dom, former commenter turned annual season reviewer. Yep, with my thoughts on the 2010 F1 season, and what a season it's been.
Hello everybody at Sight Podcast, this is Sandy speaking. All in all, I think we've seen a rather interesting season this year. There was a lot of on-track action, which for me was actually a pleasant surprise, because we had that really boring season opener in Bahrain last March, and after seeing that, I was just seriously afraid that banning refueling during the race was going to make all races into such boring parades.
Hello everybody, my name's Gavin Brown, author of the F1 stats blog Making Up the Numbers. The 2010 Formula 1 season, yeah, I quite enjoyed it. It could have been better, although it could have been worse. There were some really great races, such as Australia, and Spa was brilliant as well. But then there were some really dull races, some really boring ones. Bahrain was terrible. So was Abu Dhabi, in fairness.
Hello, Luke here. For attending my season review. Just looking over the past year, well, past 10, 11-ish. Well, let's just say a year. And it's been, you know, I think 2010 has been a good year. It's been a good year for Formula 1, and we've had a really good season, apart from the... we've had 18 really good races this year, and the testing session in Bahrain.
Morning everyone, it's Archie, or David, I'll just forget all the rugby phrases. So that's Bahrain out the window. Australia was rubbish. Malaysia was really bad. China was bad. Spain, yeah, finished that, but still pretty bad. Monaco, that was bad. And Turkey, like Turkey. Turkey was good.
Hello everyone. This is Eleonora Lacanta. The Crash Bang Wallop Grand Prix, sorry, Turkey, was a PR mess for Red Bull. It was looking at a certain 1-2 when Sebastian Vettel decided to pass a fuel-saving Mark Webber. He turned right in what appeared to be an attempt to frighten Mark out of the way, which was a bit silly considering that Mark doesn't allow that sort of thing to happen to him, even from a teammate. Vettel left Webber with no option but to hit him, leading Sebastian to do foolish gestures in the gravel trap and Mark to take a very sulky third. Just in case one own goal wasn't enough, the Red Bull management decided to blame Webber for Vettel's indiscretion. Few people agreed with them.
I'm Startle Bunny, and this is my 2010 season review. I think the team had got done something to Webber's car. Now they pressed their magic slow button, or they told him to slow down. And Vettel was going really fast, catching up to him, trying to be cocky and clever, trying to move right, just get in front of him. He hadn't gone past far enough. He spun into the front, they crashed. He did his one of the first hand gestures of the season, which was the your mental Webber. He likes them hand gestures, doesn't he? I think. And as I said, obviously near the end, Jensen and Lewis overtaking each other, except showing the Red Bulls how to do it without falling off the track. That was Lewis's first win, which was making it four different winners in the first five races.
Hey up guys, this is El Grid from Yorkshire. Button did better than I thought really. Last year, perhaps won because of the car, not so much his driving style. And Hamilton, unlucky to lose out there, he's done really well with a car that, again, not the best on the grid.
McLaren's car was rarely the strongest, but both Jenson Button and Lewis Hamilton made excellent use of it to put themselves in the Drivers' Championship battle regardless. The level of harmony between the pairing was as superb as it was unpredicted. Success helps with these things, but but as McLaren already knows, it only helped to a certain extent.
I'll start where I normally start with Jenson Button, and I've got to say I'm quite enjoying just how many people Jenson Button's been able to prove wrong over the last 2 years. It's good fun, because I think Jenson's had a very good year. I think he started the year with a lot of people thinking he was going to be awful in comparison to Lewis Hamilton, and he's turned out, you know, he had an extremely strong start to the year, dropped off a bit.
McLaren also had a great season. Hamilton did well but made a lot of mistakes. Button showed that he's wasn't just a fluke last year, and managed to keep up with Hamilton, who everyone thought would destroy him. So good season for him, but I'd like to see Button do better next year. They were a good pairing, those two, though.
I think the one thing was the Lewis and Jenson partnership in McLaren. I think that worked pretty well and better than I thought it would.
Hi guys, it's John here. I'm not sure that anyone really deserved this championship more than any others, but I think to me the guys that really stood out this year were Lewis and Kimi for getting some. They must get some sort of overtaking award. That was just phenomenal. Mark stood out to me as well. He just improved so much over previous years. Best part of the year for me was watching Heike's fire extinguisher skills at Singapore. That was pretty impressive.
Hi, this is Alex Andronov with my 2010 season review voicemail. 2010 was also the year of the new teams, three new teams, and lots of questions were asked at the beginning of the season as to whether they would be successful or not. I have to say that they were a resounding success. I thought they were really full of personality. Maybe they didn't get points, but I think they certainly had a point.
I think one of my favourite teams this year has been Lotus. I've really enjoyed watching Lotus this year, and they haven't done great, granted, but I've just enjoyed seeing them at the back. I don't know why. I think Heikki Hovland has come through so much after being that guy at McLaren. He hasn't had the greatest car. I think Lotus is going to have a better car next year, but I really enjoyed them this year. Trulli hasn't really done anything at all. Seriously? Oh, he ignored us at Goodwood. That's about it. Hispania? I'll give them credit, actually, Hispania, because they went the whole season with the same car, really. Virgin were rubbish. That's the end of that.
Hi, Stephen Roy here with my contribution to the season's review. One of the other interesting aspects of the season were the new teams. Made it really interesting to watch right through the field. You had so many drivers, some with a genuine chance to win the championship at one end, and then you're watching all the new teams at the other end. So it was one of the most involving seasons in a long time, with points of interest right through the field.
Credit to the new teams, I got mentioned the new teams, because I'm a new team championship people in no season. Before being stars to me, from Colorline and other than that to Chris Hinkley, and he bopped along for a few races when he could be bothered to do it. High hopes for Lotus and Virgin next season.
The team formerly known as Lotus can be proud of itself. It was the last team on the grid bar Sauber, yet it had little trouble securing 10th place in the respect of the entire paddock. Heikki Kovalainen proved adept at racing for smaller backmarker teams, while Jarno Trulli, less enthusiastic about the situation, still managed to make a good contribution.
Move over, Fireman Sam. You have a rival in the shape of Fireman Heikki. Basically doing a better marshalling job than any marshals ever did that weekend.
The new team, surprisingly, did all right. Not great. Haven't really contributed anything to Formula One. Lotus, changing the colours for next season. But, they're not Lotus. And I'm not sure anybody cares.
Hello, Cyclocast. This is Chris calling with my 2010 season review. Best of the new teams went to Lotus and Kovalainen, which... very good. They probably gained a new fan in me over the course of the year. Virgin had a very bad start to the year with a fuel tank issue. Unfortunately, it didn't improve, and they tried to develop the car, and they actually managed to enter last in the championship.
What's up, Side Podcast? This is Mike in New York. I'm just over an hour from historic and beautiful Watkins Glen. Honestly, I've been trying to think of something witty or deep to say about the season, but I ran out of scotch. For real, I've only been a fan the last 2.5 seasons, in the US too, so I'll just keep it short, simple, and sincere. I love the season this year, especially after the one we had last year. It was exciting and competitive. It was great having a good handful of drivers and teams in the running up until the very end. My wife and I ditched cable last year too, so this year we watched all the races and all the qualifying sessions on the BBC iPlayer. Between the coverage and the competition we saw this year, we cannot wait till lights out in 2011. In the meantime, keep doing your thing. Formula One's a great sport, but any sport is only as good as its fans. All you at Side Podcast rock. I love what you're doing. Happy holidays and cheers to a new year.
My highlight of the F1 year was definitely Spa, and some of it is maybe to do with the first Grand Prix syndrome, but what an epic race that was. We had crashes and spins and people doing things they weren't supposed to be doing, and there was chips with mayonnaise and rain. I'm sure you heard about the rain. Essentially, if you haven't been to a Grand Prix and you want to go to a Grand Prix, go to a Grand Prix. Do it. It was just marvellous. See you there same time next year.
I'd like to thank everybody for SidePod Spa. It was an absolutely awesome trip. Thank you to everybody who organised it. You did a brilliant job. It was loads of fun. It was incredible how we had all those all types of different people in two different cabins, and we got on so well, and the race was fantastic. We got really, really wet, but it was great fun, and we had some great times, and I don't think I'll ever forget how much fun we had.
What was the best race this year? I'm going to say Spa. I know I'm biased, of course. I went there. But even watching the race when I got home from Spa, after the SidePod Spa trip, it was sort of an amazing race to watch. It was just full of everything, constant action. Even if the first three retirees were my men, you know, Barrichello, Senna, and Vettel all going out. You know, never mind. Can't have everything we want now, can we, in Formula One?
Now on to Belgium, and it was Rubens' 300 race, which he crashed out from. And I'll always say this, that 9 times out of 10, any milestone Grand Prix, say the team's 200th race or the driver's 100th race, usually ends in retirement. You know, something goes wrong, car breaks down, whatever. It never ends well. Well, very rarely anyway. And then Vettel spun alongside Button, and it sort of T-boned him and broke his radio, knocked him out of the race, but carried on going.
On the flip side, Barrichello did brilliantly for Williams, moving them out of the championship, helping them out with their testing. Hülkenberg himself, quite a disappointment. I felt he should have done better. He meant to be the Lewis Hamilton for Williams.
Then something magical happened. The fans couldn't quite believe their eyes in Brazil. A wet qualifying in Brazil required everyone to judge conditions perfectly to avoid crashing or being slow. Nico timed his intermediate tyre run in Q3 perfectly, but so did several other people. What he also did right was learn the ever-changing limits quickly and completely. As a result, his first lap was only just shy of Vettel's benchmark. His second would have been enough for pole, but the final one smashed the benchmark to bits.
Ah, yes. Right, I know I'm going to be biased, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Barrichello's had a really good season for Williams. I'm really, really pleased with this season, where it's gone for Rubens, because the Williams started off with a really bad car. It wasn't as bad as Sauber's. That was an even worse car. I don't know what happened there. But you know, as the season went on, the Williams improved and Barrichello got better results. I'm really pleased with Rubens this year. I think he's had a really good season, considering he was always going to be a step down from De Bruyne last year, which was the greatest car in the history of anything, of course. Let's not forget that. Oh, I miss Bruyne. I wonder what happened to them. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so I'm really pleased with Barrichello this year. Apart from that, you know, that really nasty moment in Hungary, there's nothing that's really bad happened to him. Ugh, that was a really scary moment, wasn't it?
The main low light of the race was Schumacher trying to kill Rubens in the same way as he tried to do in Canada, which I forgot to mention. He tried knocking Massa off the track in Canada to stop him overtaking, and he pulled a similar manoeuvre on Rubens, trying to kill him. I don't think he likes Brazilians, maybe. I don't know. but quite rightfully got a penalty for that.
You want a season review? You have it. It was awesome! I've never quite seen so much competition in a Formula One season. It's the end, by the way. Hi, how you doing? Nice to see if Mercedes can actually get a decent car for 2011. Nico Rosberg even further excused to pound Schumacher into the ground.
Rosberg managed to surprise everyone, probably himself as well, by managing to finish ahead of Schumacher in the Mercedes. Schumacher himself, what I found very disappointing, really. Not doing too well, and the crash at the end in the fire race was sort of his own fault, really.
I think the most interesting pairing of a lot was probably at Mercedes, though. You get Schumacher's return going far worse than anyone could possibly have imagined, while Rosberg just kept delivering results. All in all, it made for a really good season, and I hope we get more of the same next season.
Ah, hello, Slate Podcast. This is Lee from the Formula One and Motorsports Archive. Maybe not the greatest season of all time that many people are attaching to 2010, but definitely very, very, very entertaining, with one or two exceptions. If this would be a drink, it would probably be some sort of fine wine, you know, possibly a Chardonnay. Although, not quite sure what food would go with it. I suppose, seeing as how the Grand Prix take place on Sunday, it would be a nice roast. Ah, kind of hungry now, actually.
I thought 2010 was the year that nobody wanted to win, and it seemed like everyone went through the season trying not to win the World Championship. And I was wondering why that was, and I think the reason's got to be to do with Red Bull. Red Bull only won their first race last year and then have won the championship this year, and I think it's one of those strange situations where the team's completely disorganised because they haven't had the experience of winning a world championship. It's sort of a strange thing, which is you always find in job interviews people saying, you must have experience of this before you can apply. And you think, well, how do you ever get on the ladder? Well, Red Bull have done that now, and I think they'll probably be going on to be a much more with it and together force. So I think the other teams are going to have to watch out in 2011. I think they did remarkably, considering they only had one win last year. And I think it's easily forgotten how new a team they really are. And I think the main plaudit has to go to Adrian Newey rather than actually the team management as a whole, which I think was pretty disorganised. They've got to sort out that infighting if they're going to be reasonable in the future.
I mean, there was lots to talk about. I mean, they had the Red Bull signature, which was impressive. I mean, well, they're not impressive, close to my word, but I think that was the first thing that Red Bull really were a tired camp, really. I think everything from there just escalated. Didn't go well for Red Bull from that point on.
Ooh, now on to Silverstone, Britain. And in free practice, it was Vettel broke his wing in free practice. They always say, we don't know all the facts, but it basically took Webber's new wing for Vettel to use in qualifying, even though he broke his wing. I'm sort of envisioning Helmut Marko pulling a sort of Jedi mind trick on Christian Horner, going, "No, this is Sebastian's wing." And then Christian Horner going, "No, this is Sebastian's wing."
And it's been talked about this season being topsy-turvy quite a lot, but I don't think I've ever seen such a mixture of emotions at the same time, going on at the same time within one team as we did this year at Red Bull. And it was pretty extraordinary how they can go from hero to zero in the space of 5 seconds every single race, and every single time it looked like things were going Red Bull's way, something happened. There was a crash, or there was a penalty, or there was Mark Webber flying upside down in the air, and they had an astonishing year. And I think the only reason why I was consistently thought that they were never going to win the championship is because, as I say, every time they looked good, something went wrong, and it's happening again at the end of the season. They looked brilliant. They had no reason not to win the championship. Webber was on form. Vettel was not bad. And then there's this little Spaniard creeping up behind them and overtaking them. And all of a sudden, it looks like, no, they've blown it. They threw it away.
Korea was a lousy race from Red Bull's perspective. Almost as soon as the safety car left the scene, Webber lost it into a waiting wall, bounced off, collected Rosberg and retired. Nico and Mark were not amused. Sebastian looked like winning until six laps before the end, when his engine blew up and he had to put out the fire himself. The Martian at Korea was really not up to scratch.
Vettel was in front, but Vettel's engine blew up, allowing Alonso to win the race and giving off the most evilest laugh in F1 ever.
Fernando not winning the title was a major highlight for me. I was dreading the sight of him getting out of his car as world champion in Abu Dhabi. Although many commentators have rightly pointed out that team orders is always part and parcel of Formula One, I think his whole attitude this year is absolutely stank. Summed up perfectly with his fist-waving at Petrov on the warm-down lap at Yas Marina.
The worst part for me was Germany. I think that really brought the sport down. I can't quite get it through my head how stupid Ferrari think we all are. Fernando is faster than you. But, you know, it makes a good slogan. You put it on a mug or something.
Meanwhile, it should be mentioned that Massa let Alonso take his second win of the season, and it appeared to totally destroy Felipe's confidence. Massa's performance drop was never more obvious in Japan, where after a poor qualifying, he collected Liuzzi in the first corner, removing both from the proceedings.
Ferrari, pretty astonishing. I don't think they put together a massively good car. I think they were made to look a lot better by the work of Fernando Alonso. And say what you like about Fernando Alonso, and you do, and everyone does, but he is a seriously good driver, and I think he proved that this year. I think he drove that car far better than, as proven by how far back Felipe Massa was for most of the season, I think he drove that car far better than, you know, he made it look a lot better than it actually was. He had an astonishing end to the season, and I do know the reason. I know the reason why he didn't win the championship, because I predicted him for the championship. I jinxed it before the season had even begun, and I should know by now that I shouldn't back someone for the championship, because they're not going to win it if I do. I should back someone I don't like so much.
As for deserving titles, I know there's probably a lot of people around who won't agree with me on this, but I'm just glad, personally, that Fernando Alonso didn't win it this year. I'm not going to say too much about the way he presented himself this year, because I think that's already been done enough in the comments here on Sidebroadcast and also in the media in general. But I would like to say that I thoroughly believe that you just can't be a worthy winner when you don't know how to be a loser. There's just no excuse whatsoever for waving at Vitaly Petrov like that. Petrov was only doing his job. If Fernando couldn't get past him on his own, then that's his problem. Or maybe in this case, it might have been the track's problem. So let's just hope that Fernando manages to be a better person next year, so that next year he will deserve another title if he gets it.
I am possibly the only non-Spanish person to like Fernando Alonso, so I'm thoroughly gutted that Ferrari messed up and that Petrov suddenly found some sort of speed and really ruined Alonso's race. I do think Petrov should have just basically pulled out of the way, because Alonso is the best driver on the grid at the moment, even better than Schumacher, because, well, let's just not go there. So yeah, I'm thoroughly disappointed. I'm not being a sore loser like Alonso, who actually I don't think was that sore of a loser. After, when he was talking to Louise, you know, he was pretty cool and calm for Alonso.
And it would also be nice for Felipe Massa to pitch slap Fernando Alonso and make him pay for Germany this year.
Germany was not much better, to be fair. And, you know, I got a pretty good bit of team orders, really. And that overshadowed the whole season, really.
And then these are basically the five words of the season. Fernando is faster than you. The FIA, is it rule 39.1? It's something about team orders, blah, blah, blah. And that's my rule 6.1. Boo!
The big talking point about 2010 at one point had to have been Massa and Alonso, and I think Massa's had a really bad year this year. I feel bad for him because he just hasn't had a good year, but at the same time, you know, he hasn't. If he can't keep up with Alonso, then Maybe he should move on. Blatantly should go to Sauber. I don't know why Sauber. That's just the first thing that came to my head. But
Alonso had a decent season, but again, he spoils it with being unsportsmanlike at the end. He really doesn't understand what his... Well, it's like he doesn't really care about his own legacy. He just wants to drive, and he thinks that winning is everything, but winning is not enough. You've got to be a proper champion. And so it was kind of good that he did lose it just on that basis.
I think the most important fact this season for me was that the FIA didn't get involved in meddling with the results that they've done in the past, with the exception of the non-penalty for Ferrari's team orders. I still don't understand how a team can be found guilty of breaking a rule and then keep the advantage they gained by breaking it. But it was so good by the second half of the season to know that you could watch a race and that the finishing positions were not going to be changed for some spurious reason.
What's more, we had 5 different drivers in contention for the title until Brazil, and we still had 4 fighting for the title at the last Grand Prix in Abu Dhabi, and for me that was also a very big plus. I've been following this sport for years, and I don't think I've ever seen more than 3 drivers fighting for the title until the very end. Now, having 3 title contenders makes a season exciting, but having 4 or 5, I don't know, it just gives the season a wholly different dynamic. It basically makes the outcome of a championship entirely unpredictable, which also happens to be what I look for in a good season, because I don't want to know halfway through the season who will win the title, but I just want the title fight to go on until the very last race of the season, and luckily that's also what happened this year. So, on the whole, I'm very satisfied with 2010 as a Formula One season.
Hi everybody, this is Kai in the US with my thoughts on the 2010 season. Now that it's over, I guess I can say that I love the ups and downs, and even if the low points, I was a Weber fan, even if the low points were not enjoyable at the time, I really appreciate being on that roller coaster that Weber was on. Not to be confused with the Alonso face distortion Ferrari world roller coaster that he was on. That's a whole different ride, and I don't know, I found that pretty creepy and odd.
I'm very happy for Red Bull getting the championship. I'm very happy with Vettel getting the driving championship, although if I'm honest I would have preferred Webber.
To have 4 people going into the last race with actually a somewhat chance of winning it, and then the underdog in the entire season coming out on top, the place is Golden Boy. Oh yeah, him. Yeah. So it was interesting.
But yeah, I think that Red Bull genuinely didn't deserve to win this season. Yes, they've had a fast car, but the amount of mistakes and crashes and just reliability problems about it's just been a joke. Ferrari haven't had the best car, but they've pulled that car around as best as possible.
I really enjoyed the lack of fuel stops during the season. The race was much purer because of that. There was still the odd occasion where someone gained or lost due to pit strategy, but that happened a lot less in the past. The competition for the championship was great. It was absolutely great to have so many drivers in contention right down to the wire and to the lead change between them so often. It's a real shame that the last race was ruined by pit strategy. I'd love to see the championship lead change during the race, but so long as you have pit stops, you get the chance of someone make the wrong stop at the wrong time and having the race ended there and then.
New champion was so happy he cried on the slowdown lap. He also makes me feel old because he's the first F1 champion younger than me at the time of winning. Red Bull looks extremely strong for 2011, provided it can keep the simmering tensions between Webber and Vettel in check. A storm is looming there, and it can only be hoped that those involved can be mature enough to keep it in check.
Vettel, he can be fast, but he just can't overtake for Toffee. Maybe now he's a world champion, he'll learn how to do so without hitting another car or causing an incident. It's a weird way to do things, isn't it? Learn to drive, be a good driver, be fast. He'll be fast, learn to overtake, then win the world championship. He's drive fast, win the world championship, now learn how to overtake. It's an odd way to go around.
My driver season It's got to be Vettel, you know, for jamming. And everything he's done. He was number one. I don't think you can fault that. He got the most poles, he got the most wins. He did everything right, I suppose, in the end. And when it mattered, Alonso and Webber. I don't know what he found.
I guess he deserved it in the end. I feel sorry for Mark Webber. He did an amazingly good job. I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know if he'll become more competitive next year. He's at the peak of his career. I don't know if he can peak any further. But it's a shame for him. And he's a good driver, and he proved that this year. And unfortunately, no championship for Webber, but well done, Vettel. I think the only reason why I don't like Vettel is because of the events at Belgium, the encounter he had with Jensen's McLaren. I won't forget that. I don't forget things like that.
As for the outcome of the World Championship, I must admit that personally, I was rooting for Webber. He's been in Formula 1 for many years now, and he has fought his way up through the ranks, all the way from Minardi up to Red Bull. So I just felt, on the basis of that year-long struggle, I just felt that he deserved it. Well, for me, it's really a pity, but I guess it just wasn't meant to be this year. Mark made that capital mistake in Korea, spinning off, not scoring points, and he clearly missed speed in Abu Dhabi, so let's hope Red Bull will give him another good car in 2011, and let's hope he'll get another chance.
I'm happy that Sebastian Vettel won. I do like the guy. I'm not his biggest fan, but I think I've thought about it, and it's really because of the way that Red Bull treated the two drivers this year. It sort of focuses some negativity on him, but he's a nice lad, and I think he's a worthy champion, and I think he'll be a good ambassador for the sport, so good on him. It's a shame that Mark Webber couldn't do it. It was strange how he sort of didn't do that well in Abu Dhabi at the end there. I'd be curious as to know why, but hopefully he can come back and have another go next year.
The 2010 review, like it or not, the season was only good on paper. There was no real on-track overtaking, although we did get some unexpected results on quite a few occasions. The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, for example, summed it up really. Alonso was expected to win the championship, but he did not. Anyway, I was personally happy with the result, not for the drivers, but for Adrian Newey and Christian Horner, to be honest. They deserve the championship more than the drivers. Red Bull should have wrapped up the title by, I don't know, the Hungarian Grand Prix. But the fact of the matter is, all the five leading contenders for the title made mistakes, and City ones at that. If you take Alonso, for example, his Monaco stunt in practice, the Abu Dhabi strategy was horrible, his jump start in China. Webber did not justify a Red Bull's pace at all on many occasions. If you take races like Australia, Valencia, Belgium, and Abu Dhabi again. Button started off well, but then he drove like a second fiddle driver throughout the rest of the season. Hamilton's retirement, for example, cost him dearly. Too aggressive in Singapore, losing time during the Japanese GP practice session and so on. You can write a book on that with fumbles this season. Maybe this season was probably good for the sport in terms of how it panned out, but for me, it was only good on paper.
But I hope we have another championship like we had this year, because it was awesome. Awesomely awesome, awesome, having four or five people going for the championship with a race or two to go. That was amazing. It could have gone anyway, and it really, really, it made an awful race quite tense, as in Abu Dhabi. Luckily, Abu Dhabi next year is not the final race. Oh, thank you. Thank you. But the championship battle this year was just back and forth constantly. Could have gone to Webber, could have gone to Button, could have gone to Hamilton, could have gone to Rubin. Damn it. Could have gone to, obviously, Alonso or Webber or Vettel or whatever, whoever I haven't said. And it was just so exciting, and I really enjoyed that. So, I hope 2011 is just as good as this year.
On to next year. And, they're getting rid of the diffusers and the F-dots, but they're bringing back KERS, and then they're introducing movable rear wings. I've no idea how that'll pan out. I mean, it all starts in Bahrain. Oh, God, Bahrain. Okay, it could be worse. Anyway, it was a great season, even though I can't remember most of it. I enjoyed it, and look forward to next year, apart from Bahrain, but I'm looking forward to it still.
2010 was a good year, if not perhaps as great as 2009. The five-way title battle was exciting, but quite a lot of decisions made left me cold. Hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks for your hard work again, guys, this year, as always, and I will get back in the comments soon, because I know I'm missing out on all the fun, but I'll speak to you soon.
For me, overall, I love the fact that I cared so much about who won and lost each race, what their positions were, what was going on with the teams, and I learned so much from all of you about technically what's happening with the cars, and what was going on behind the scenes as much as we could tell from the outside fan point of view. So I really found that very inspiring, and it was just so much fun for me to be involved again and to be caring so much about each race and each track and what the strengths and weaknesses would be for each team at each track. And it was about remembering how much I love F1, you know, bottom line. And it's been so much fun getting to know all of you and feeling connected to the sport again. So for me, more than data, it was about the heart and the passion and the spirit of it. And I just thank you all again for being so welcoming and smart and fun and creative. And it's been a great experience. And I look forward to more. Thanks, everybody.
I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'd like to say cheers. And here's to the 2011 Formula One season.
And that's it for me, more or less. This was my very, very first Side Podcast season review. And, well, I don't expect everybody to agree with all the things I've said, but I do hope that you found at least one or two things I said interesting to listen to. I hope I will see you all around on Side Podcast in the comments or somewhere else. And, well, as we say over here in the Netherlands, where I'm from, tot de volgende keer. Or in translation, see you next time.
I think it's going to happen. He's going to win next year's championship. It's going to be an American Mercedes V1 company. American Renault will be up there. Or at least Kubica. They've been definitely one of the best drivers of the season compared to the car. Yeah, it's been one way to describe the season. Meh. Cheers all. Have a lovely winter. And enjoy life.
Thanks very much for 2010 Side Podcast, and I totally understood about the hiatus. I thought the first race of the season and the second race of the season were one of the most boring races I've ever seen and one of the most fascinating side by side, and that I think spelled out the whole season. There were some really interesting races and there's some really, really terrible ones, and it's something that I hope Bernie will look to address in the future, but I don't hold out much hope given his past record. Anyway, I think 2011, things can only get better, and but I kind of enjoyed 2010 despite myself.
Overall, it was a very good year, and I'm looking forward to 2011.
But overall, I think the season was the best one we've had in a while, and we've had the last three or four as quite phenomenal seasons. So bring on 2011, and hopefully it will be even better, although I can't quite imagine how.